got? Oh, I checked. The Second Coming is in the bottom-up chart.
Right. Do you have anything on the tip of your tongue you want to go into, Will?
The shape, icosahedron.
Yeah.
Or actually, all four plus stages of apprehension. I guess we've been talking about that so far, right?
Yes. Yes. That's right. That's under Orphic Baroque Spirals. If anybody's listening and looking at the chart, it's near the bottom of the list of terms under Orphic Baroque Spirals. Now, Orphic Baroque.
Yeah. What about guppies?
Guppies. You never heard of that term?
Not necessarily.
Right. It didn't have much currency, but it came up in the early 90s. People like Al Gore were called green yuppies.
Okay.
Had you heard of that?
No, I'm familiar with the idea, though.
Yeah, and so guppies were green yuppies. They also had black yuppies. They were called buppies. But if you think of how the yuppie merges, it's in the Croker Quadrant. It's become cyborg. The yuppie is the chemical body celebrating its voicemail and answer machines and VCRs and all that 80s stuff, digital technology. So it's starting to be cyborgian. And then you bring in green, which is the color under Bob at the top with Rai, Eloy, Two, and Lofty. But green implies nature, first nature. And yuppies like accessories and second nature extravagances. You put the two together, it implies a merger of first and second nature. So that's an esoteric meaning of the guppies. And the guppies fight against antidote to the slackers or vice versa. The slackers, they try to enjoy the effects of the merger of first and second nature unconsciously and don't bother trying to make a big deal out of it like the guppies. The guppies run around trying to buy the latest SUV so they can get the hell to the latest eco rally, right? They use technology to get to the green rallies or to get to Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth, you know. The slacker doesn't bother going anywhere. What'd you say?
Or take a jet is the...
Yes, take a jet.
...criticism right now.
Yes, a lot of the celebrities who go to those fundraising things have to be paid to come. Right? Yeah, so the slacker doesn't show up. You tend to film slackers in Olympia.
Right, yeah.
At least the old image of them. You know, because the slacker movie came out, what, 92 or so. What was his name? Richard
Linklater.
What?
Richard Linklater?
Yeah, Linklater. He made it. Okay, so what's really interesting is that movie shows students, young people, being quadriphenic in an early phase. You know, like, they're all spaced up. They're all in their little stupid obsessions. They're all in their little Orphic Baroque spirals. And it's hard for them to connect to anybody, right? They're drifting. They're like satellites. And so that's prefiguring the drifting that's going to happen when everybody gets their own little Netscape computer by the mid-90s, right?
Yeah.
They're drifting through the cybersphere.
The movie also brought the Pixel Vision camera to the big screen.
Oh, that's right, yeah. And so what did I say, cybersphere, but the other one, that they are cybernauts. That was a term back then. So the drifting, I mean, that's the way he makes it. He just drifts around Austin and has synchronistic meetings almost, right?
Right.
And he's acting out, you know, Dobbstown in a way. How I'm explaining Dobbstown. So I remember Mike Dyer, the guy I did the radio show with in Toronto, from 87 to 91, he called me up and said, Bob, you got to go see this movie called Slacker. It's all about you. So I went to it. And, of course, the Church Sub Genes guys thought it was about them. But it isn't about them because they can't explain why it's about them. They just say, it's Bob. But I spend hundreds of hours explaining how it's about me. It comes down to the same thing, Bob, but they think it's J.R. Bob in quotes. But no, it's actually Bob Dobbs, living chemical body right here. So so I want to just spiral off into slackers. Okay. And then you have Dobbstown versus 22/14. 22 is the number for the baby boomers. 14 is for the Generation X. So Dobbstown represents the next generation, Morpheus generation, born around 80, 89, 90, 91. And they are, they have a different vibe. They're not under the Cold War problem that the generation baby boomers had. And Generation X had almost free from the Cold War, but they were left listless in the early Android meme phase. And they suffered the depression, recession problems that were happening before the wall went down and the Cold War was announced over. The young kids born at that period of the 1990 Cold War ending, they come in with a different vibe. And you know, an example of a Morpheus kid is Monsquaz Scott,
mm-hmm.
born in '88, mm-hmm. and he reincarnated or not, if we don't believe in that. But he showed up and tuned in, and he's one of the best explainers of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, better than the old Generation X people who show up, or the older baby boomers.
Yeah, he's tracking you really close.
Yeah, so Dobbstown is representing the Morpheus generation, and that's explained in the Up the Earth, Andy. And the other complex is Satellite versus Flesh. Satellite, now here is, let's see, looking through the middle column, you do have this art form, cliched archetype process, or previous environment being art, previous environment becoming art form and subsumed in a new invisible environment, kind of implied in the middle column, where you have the automobile in the LaRouche quadrant, and you have the airplane, which is, you know, goes around the automobile. McLuhan used to say the automobile created the suburbs and turned the city into a ghetto, but the airplane turned both the suburb created by the automobile and the city into a ghetto. So the airplane goes around the automobile. Then the next one is the atom bomb, which is a compressed unit of information that goes around everything and threatens everything. Then what goes around the atom bomb? The laser beam, right? So it turns the atom bomb into a previous phase. And then the Dobbs quadrant.
You're leaving me in the dust here. You referred to the atom bomb as a complex of information, I think you said?
Yes, McLuhan, it's a very interesting essay. In the mid-60s, McLuhan defined the atom bomb as the university-made compact. In other words, you have to think about all the knowledge that humans created and then go into a project like the Manhattan Project with Oppenheimer and those guys. They were building and guessing and working and all that they knew. All that humans knew up to that point, and they were successful. They created the atom bomb. So it was a compact residue, like this chart, of all the efforts of humanity up to that point, made into a little metal thing.
Right.
So I'm going to cut you off.
Go ahead.
I have to take off.
Okay, you got to go now? Well, that's great.
Yeah.
It's good, and if we do some more, you can join in. We'll keep you going. It's not mandatory. You got this initial loss of virginity. You're the first to show up here. First student, in a sense, allowed in the seminar.
Well, let's continue next week. We can do another hour on this, I think.
No, I want to continue with you, Scott.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you guys should keep going right now because
yeah.
You're getting rolling.
Oh, all right.
I want to keep going. We might even finish it tonight.
Okay, good.
And then you'll just be listening. Well, you might. See, we can, if we do finish it, we'll come back next week and see if you have some thoughts based on after hearing it. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah,
so,
sounds great.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep it going.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Well, thank you for having me, and happy birthday.
Okay, thank you, Will. Thanks for showing up.
Right. Bye.
Bye. So, Scott, do I...
Yeah, I was just going to say that... but that's, of course, true of all technology. All technology represents all of the previous efforts, development of science and technology. Well, maybe not all
technology. That's Bucky Fuller's thing, doing more with less. Etherealization or miniaturization.
Right.
But McLuhan was very interesting.
I suppose you're right.
In the mid-60s, McLuhan was defining the bomb as a university environment, compressed.
Yeah. That's right, because, like, for instance, relativity theory isn't, I don't think, necessarily incorporated into computer technology. It might be in some esoteric sense, but it was incorporated into the atom bomb, so it probably did draw on maybe more fields than other types of technology.
Yeah, and then McLuhan might have been talking even about the hydrogen bomb by the 60s.
Yeah.
So,
and then you were just saying how the laser beam wrapped around the atom bomb, but it wasn't...
The hologram. The hologram starts to. The hologram, since it's been invented in 1960, therefore, the whole phase where the hologram becomes an environment where everybody's using it hasn't happened yet. But its effects are already happening, and so it creates the complement to the global theater effect. So the laser beam goes around the atom bomb, and software information, television, as McLuhan said, way more powerful and destructive than the atom bomb, the Android beam begins to go around the hardware wars, and the hardware wars and fears are fought in the backyards of the world while we go into the Android meme digital utopia.
Yeah. You know, the atom bomb created such a deep threat in the mind of human beings that, you know, we didn't know from one day to the next whether we were all going to be blown up.
Yeah.
And I wonder if we were blown up by the Android meme when it came in.
There's the seduction. There's the quicksand. You notice quicksand, but if it's a subtle quicksand, it sucked you in, and you didn't even know you got obliterated. We're now realizing that economically.
Yeah.
Here in 2009, it did nuke the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
At a deeper level of the social structure,
mm-hmm,
than a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So then the satellite goes around the laser beam.
Another element of the laser beam, in addition to using it as a metaphor for the global hologram, was that the laser beam was used to read data off of optical discs, including DVDs. You had the movement from the analog on VCRs and Betamaxes and all of that kind of stuff, the tapes, to the digital imaging of the optical disc and the DVD and all that kind of stuff. The laser is used in that process.
Yeah, and it's used to create content of the hologram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Create aspects of the hologram. I mean, they may never offer the hologram. They probably will. There's that series called Wild Palm that projects that. Yeah, people eventually they'll want a hologram that they can, that comes to their home and they can interact with it.
You know what's weird? What's weird, Bob? I've never found the right person to ask about this, but back in about the late 1980s, I think this was probably before I met you. This could have been the early 90s, but I was in a shopping mall in the Glendale Galleria, and they had a booth set up where you could go in and put on a virtual reality headset, where you were inside of a hologram and you had a weapon that you had like a rifle, and you experience like going up an elevator, and then the elevator doors open, and you're seeing this through this headset. You think, you know, you feel like you're in this digital reality, and you had the ability to move your hands. It would, when you moved your hands and you moved the weapon in cyberspace, you would see the weapon move in the direction that you pointed it. And then, like these alien creatures would jump out from behind oil drums, and you'd shoot at them, and they'd shoot at you, and you had to duck and cover and avoid getting killed. And it was really the early beginnings of this hologram reality. And then it just disappeared from the and to me this looked like it was going to be bigger than video games or anything, and I think they pulled it because I can't believe that this was not going to become commercially successful. I think they pulled it and we never even got to hear about it.
Okay, the you're talking about pretty well for our listeners, the virtual reality helmet. That's how it was marketed back then, right?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't marketed to the public, but you could go you could go into like an arcade place in a shopping mall, and you'd step up onto this platform, put the helmet on. They'd hand you a rifle, an object that was shaped like a rifle, but actually you could, when you moved it around in physical space, you would see it coordinated moving around in cyberspace with your helmet on. And it was a little disorienting. I mean, when I took the thing off, it was a little disoriented moving from that cyberspace back into, you know, ordinary tactile reality. I think they must have pulled it and just not even talked about it, because I never even heard anybody talking about it. And by now, it would have been really, it would become a very advanced technology if they'd continued to develop it and make it available.
Now, you said that was the hologram in early form. I'd say it's the hologram in later stages. The hologram effect is happening from 60 to 90. You're talking about 92, 93. Mm-hmm. And you could say there's a top-down reason it's not here anymore, because someone corporate level pulled it for paranoid reasons. But then there's always the bottom-up level, and to actually put a helmet on yourself and have to go somewhere is not as mobile as when you have a computer and the personal computer is coming in. I just see that, and also it's emphasizing the eye maybe too much. You get this multi-sensual situation that's shrinking with the digital technologies of the 90s, which allow you also to feel that the technology is disappearing, shrinking.
Yeah.
Friendlier. It's probably the headset
also had, you know, it had headphones built in, so you were getting an audio visual feed on it. You know, another technology that
Let me finish that. I'm saying that was too visible, too clunky. If I can have something that works with my fingertips or, you know, moving a mouse, and I can travel a lot more places than just going to some mall.
Yeah, but it isn't full sensory immersion. This was like full sensory immersion.
From the eye's point of view, you don't need to have the chemical body's version of full sensory immersion as your defining standard when you have the immersion of the TV body and the chip body, which are really intangible. I think it's the fact that everybody by 1995 could get on the internet and start emailing each other and communicating. That collective sharing is the significance of the TV and chip body. To just go into a mall, it's like a little mini movie theater, just jazzed up a bit with the laser beam. So you're still getting that private experience. You cannot share. Now, as you move into the anthropomorphic physical after 1990 and media shrinking, people are getting cut off. People have no common community standards of any, or technological standards. So the reason the Android meme takes off in its afterimage is that it retrieves community for people. They can email and broadcast and narrowcast all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole different demand, and it's a sense of being in touch and enhancing the ESP qualities of electronic phase rather than just having a personal movie experience that you get in the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
But online games probably combine both, the virtual reality helmet and the sharing and interactivity of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Online games are the big deal now, right? Been the big deal.
Right.
So what was this other thing you were going to go into?
Well, even like 10 years before that, I heard this wacky guy, was at Ojai, they were having a convention of people, John Lilly and others were there, and this guy introduced this holographic sound technology that he developed, and you could put a set of headphones on, and you could hear things at a distance moving in from creeping up from behind or from in front of you or dropping down from above. It really gave you the sense of three-dimensional sounds vectoring in from various distances. I mean, you can almost measure the distance something was from you, if it was 6 feet or 12 feet away, just by this, how it was approaching you. And that also, that technology was just freaking awesome, and it just vanished. I can't. It's just weird to me that some types of these technologies, this sensory immersion technologies, I think have been actually probably prohibited from us before we even find out about it. Probably because they're fearful that it could cause people to go into, I don't know, psychotic states of consciousness or break from reality or something. I don't know.
Okay, break from the consensus reality. So these kind of matrix tubes, virtual reality helmets and coffins are coming in the future. We know that's going to happen. So before we go into that, and it won't happen until after cold fusion comes in, but before cold fusion, the effects of this kind of isolation in your own little tank is balanced off by people needing to share and have this tactile ESP thing going on, reestablishing community. And that's what the dot-com boom was about. This people celebrating their chip body with TV body imagery and experience. So it's the realizing that we actually were going into a very isolated, super cold environment, what I call the caveman reality of the of this decade and of the, this past, the naughty knots. People knew that they were going into isolation chambers, so they retrieved the Android meme in the 90s to reaffirm a sense of chip body and TV body, voluntary ESP, dialectically relating to cloned ESP. So all that had to be done. Now, with cold fusion, that allows people to disconnect from community because they've got their own energy sources and don't need the protection of friction-based energy societies. So they go into frictionless-based energy situations, and they've got their energy security. Then they can accept the fact of being disconnected. So the wild palm scenario of the hologram coming into your home, and or even you being in a sensory deprivation kind of matrix tube or enhanced matrix tube, that comes later. So yeah, it was just like the video phone did not make it in the 70s because Americans could not handle someone calling them up and seeing how they looked at home, right?
The wild palm scenario, though, it was the holograms were being governed by nefarious band
broadcast
of gang
media. Broadcast media. It's the old analog model of broadcast media.
Yeah, but it was all under corporate control by evil.
Yeah, that's the one way aspect of 1984, which was 1948. Analog media, top-down, Big Brother control.
Right.
So the writer, forget his name, he projected. Oliver Stone made the TV series, produced it, whatever. The guy wrote it, and yeah, Bruce somebody, and names come back to me. He projected an analog Big Brother aspect into the homeopathic cliche probes and missed the chaosmos, to quote Finnegan's Wake, the chaotic breakdown and the voluntary disconnect from the clone DSP Big Brother aspect that was coming in with Netscape. You know, you talk to people about computers and life in the late 90s, people often thought of it, as Derek DeKirchhoff said, connected intelligence, or the hive mind, like people getting on news groups, I guess, and chat lines and all the other things. Remember those things, MUDs, M-U-Ds? And people using avatars, all that early enthusiasm was a sense of connecting. But actually, the hidden effect of all that was disconnection. And that's what's partly implied in the chart. You have the Orphic Baroque spirals of each quadrant spiraling off by themselves and not talking to the other quadrant. So they're spinning through, spinning clothing crystals, as it says at the bottom. So the DOPS quadrant He's more the Rumpelstiltskin orchestrator of it, the evil, you know, Wizard of Oz behind the scenes, to the degree that that is a reality. It's not the whole reality. Big Brother doesn't rule this world. The audience does.
Right.
The Nielsen ratings and all the other kinds of ratings they have now.
Yeah, and that's the thing, again, with the cold fusion. Everybody, if everybody can break away from the grid, start their own community with their neighbors, and be self-sustainable, then it makes it more difficult for a top-down dictator to try to hijack it and funnel those resources into the pockets of one greedy organization or one greedy person.
So that's what Dobbstown and Lockdown Bob Rule means, is that I'm the greedy dictator who doesn't have those motives. I let everybody enjoy the Finnegan's Wake. So the social cult nature of what I do is a joke. It is showing the oscillation of the leader and the cult members in the global society, in the global hologram, the interpenetration and tactile systole diastole, so they can't tell who's leading and who's ruling and who's following, who is duped by who. That is the meaning of the Dobbs quadrant playing with the previous four stages of apprehension. It's like the previous four phases, four quadrants, are puppets of Bob. But Bob has a synchronous relationship with them, and they appear to be controlling him.
Mm-hmm.
So that interplay is one of the meanings of the Dobbs quadrant in relation to the four previous quadrants above it as it's presented in the chart format.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
One of the interesting things about the cold fusion is that...
I would say that's how reality rules, virtual reality, the simulacrum, what we're into now, the Android meme, how that rules. Before cold fusion.
Yeah. One of the sad things about this, you know, as we're on the brink of cold fusion, a new dawn, is that, which is a new hardware technology which will liberate human beings from the tyranny of the nightmare of history.
which is communication.
Yeah.
Their software.
But during this transition process, the Caterpillar company just laid off so many thousand people. I mean, people with hardware jobs are losing their hardware jobs and not having anywhere to turn for sustenance.
Yeah, the old hardware environment is being affected by the collapse of the software environment because they fed on each other.
Mm.
So they're both in trouble. And there are many people laid off from software jobs and hardware jobs. All the jobs are being affected by the disappearance of human communication.
Mm-hmm.
And the last gasp of human communication was the Android meme. People willingly joined in the Netscape.com revolution to experience for one last gasp, supposedly controlled by the hive mind or the Android meme, but to experience the sharing of human communication. Now we've reached the mystery landscape and we don't know what to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And we remain in that level until cold fusion.
And on the cash flow shows, you've been pointing out, it doesn't matter that we don't know what to communicate as long as we all keep typing and communicating, because that's what's keeping us, that's what's going to get us through the transition.
Yeah, it got us up till maybe yesterday. We don't know if it'll get us through the next couple of weeks, but
yeah.
It has been keeping us going. I mean, people are waiting. I mean, you saw that worldreports.org and Tom Hennigan have announced that the Obama administration is over. Lasted 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Other coups, the Bush-Clinton crime family came in and took it over.
Mm.
So that's one projection there by informed sources up to a point. They're not completely informed. But that could mean what now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What could that mean?
Well, you know, this movie Slumdog Millionaire, which I saw last night, you know, it's won the Directors Guild Award, or Foreign Film Award, the Golden Globes, and it's probably going to win the Oscar for Best Picture. And here, this is a film out of Mumbai. If it wins the Best Picture for the Oscar, it's exposing the obsolescence of Western hegemony. Western
hegemony.
Hegemony.
And I explained that on the last show on cash flow. The Obama and Mumbai and slumdog millionaire go together.
Yeah, I mean, it's like right in your face. It's like the Western world, you're done.
And so is the rest of the world, but since the Here Comes Everybody, emotion of multitude, seems to have an after image in the working class or the oppressed classes or the working poor, the non-working poor all around the world, the actual majority of humanity.
Right.
That's what Obama means, the majority of humanity, the last gasp of the anthropomorphic physical,
right,
is walking around hoping there's still something to do.
Right, because the suppression has been lifted. And so the emotions of multitudes are coming out for all the whatever. It's going to play itself out until these people feel that they have some sort of justice or equality that they've been hoping to have.
Yeah, in some ways, Obama is the AP, the anthropomorphic physical quadrant on my chart, and it's, to a degree, it's a mystery body, and it's the mystery of humanity and the meaning of community and the meaning of people being humans and sharing together, sharing information and communication. So that is countering. That's the AP over the Android meme. But it's not the AP over the Android meme represented by Bush. It's a different aspect of it. Maybe it's just the mystery part of human communication presented more glaringly than the mystery aspects that Bush represented, because he did offer no communication up to a point.
Yeah.
But it was the white man, so maybe...
Yeah, but he represented Big Daddy authoritarian, I'm here to take care of business.
Yeah, the white race, so which had owned the global theater. So then it got wiped out, and now we're about to witness the people who were ruled by the white man, we're going to witness them being wiped out.
Yeah.
And that will include the paroxysm or supernova of media dominance and media celebration. Just as the, remember, when Bush got in 2002, 2003, Republicans, or, you know, Karl Rove and those guys were saying, no, that's it, we're going to rule the United States for decades now.
Yeah.
They thought the Republican Party was really on top of things.
Yeah.
And just as the Democratic Party thinks that they think they're in control for the next 30 years, they got some surprises coming because they don't have any money. There ain't any money to get.
Yeah.
They got no money to hand out.
Well, you know, I just thought of something. The film Slumdog Millionaire, the crescendo of the film is, well, I mean, the film points out that Mumbai is run by gangsters, which is something we already knew, but...
And the Third World's run by gangsters. So,
the Third World's run by gangsters, but this movie shows, the end of the film shows the triumph of the slum dog over the gangster world, and the gangster gets shot up in the end of the movie, so I don't know, you know, and gangsters can only rule through money, and if money has disappeared, then they can't rule any. They can't rule the way they used to.
Well, they
but no.
Become...
But the problem is nobody can. You know, I mean,
right. So let me finish throw this in. So anarchy breaks out, and it's Mad Max scenario. Just little gangs running around, shooting, stealing from other gangs.
Right.
The image of Obama. It would be very hard to convince people right now that he's a gangster. Okay, represents gangster elements or the gangster aspect of the working class. James was telling me that he sent out a YouTube showing the contradictions of Obama, and many of his friends, sophisticated, educated people, were angry at him for being negative about Obama.
Yeah.
And so it's very hard to criticize Obama if you want to maintain your social cachet. because it is the mood right now.
Yeah.
It's like the last hope.
Well, Rush Limbaugh came out last week and said he hopes Obama fails. He says, if Obama's agenda is socialist, I hope he fails. And that got him a lot of attention because he probably got him more attention than if he didn't say that.
Yeah.
He likes the attention that it gets him, but I don't know if it's good for James's show.
Ah, you mean for James to get that kind of attention?
Yeah, I mean, he may be able to turn it to his advantage if it... I mean, attention means that people are talking about you.
Right, but James didn't send it out representing his point of view. He just thought that YouTube was interesting and sent it around to people.
Oh, yeah.
But they thought that the messenger was the message.
Right.
Okay, so why don't we go into the details
on
the chart?
Yeah. One last thing that I want to note about Cold Fusion is that... of all of the people in your chart that precede Bob, you know, I don't know if other people would perceive LaRouche this way, but I perceive him as being a bit stuffy and provincial, and yet he's the only guy in your chart other than Bob who was really
talking about
the Cold Fusion and wanting to find a way to help usher it in.
Yeah, now William Raymond Thompson mentions in a book, came out in the early 90s, forget the title, we mentioned it in the Thompson Quadrant. He mentions what he calls desktop fusion as something coming in the future. He does acknowledge it, but he doesn't make a political issue out of it and go on about it like LaRouche does. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't go to the conferences on Cold Fusion. He sees it coming. And McLuhan probably saw it, and Croker sees it. All of them see it. But it's more... the hardware zone, so LaRouche represents that, and so he's going to talk more about it.
Right.
It seems more of a confirmation of his meme than the others.
Yeah. And, he got behind Pons and Fleischmann, and before that he was into exploring just fusion energy in general and believing that it was the next step.
Yeah, I think he called it back then plasma physics.
Yeah.
But the thing is, every one of these quadrants are equal, almost. They are all equally good John the Baptist for what I'm talking about. And they each have their angle on it. And sophisticated quadrophenia, wakeful quadrophenia, would include all four quadrants and a familiarity with their LaRouche, McLuhan, Thompson, Croker's work.
Yeah, there are four bodies or five bodies, however you want to look at it, that actually interrelate to create one single body, and they're all constituent elements.
Yeah. So the the other aspect was they're all, as I say in the Up the Over Andy essay, encyclopedic. They all have their own holy offices within their expertise. And they all shine clarity on aspects of what has been happening between 1960 and 1990, and what came after it.
Right. And you have to get your own self into your own mystery body in order to be able to look objectively at what you've created here as the after image of the Android meme. Because if you're in the water, the fish can't see the, trees from the forest.
Yeah, it's like I'm the first fish out of the water and then survived it.
Yeah.
There's another aspect there. The 1977 to 92, within that column, in the Dobbs quadrant, and then you relate that to the 1960 to 1990 in the far right column, and you also relate that to 1990 as the singular date, and then you go back to the Dobbs formula chart, which has 1990 to 2020. All those must be considered and ratios created in terms of what the Dobbs quadrant means.
Mm-hmm.
Because 60 to 90, this Android meme is prefiguring lockdown Bob rule, then 1990 to 2020, another 30 years, acts it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. Could we say that all of these periods preceding 1990 are the involution, and then the explosive evolution occurs after that, or something?
No, no, because cold fusion is involution, is implosion. Electronic technologies are implosion; they're not explosive, as McLuhan says. That's why it's interesting that history ends with the bomb. Which
yeah. Well, I didn't mean it that way. I meant it. It's like these other previous stages are the information is complexifying within itself so that it can then begin to. It's like something going on within a flower before it actually, and then the flower actually opens. The blossoming of it would be the information actually. Exposing itself or revealing itself or manifesting itself in the real world.
It's in Grony's phrase, the media simplex.
Mm-hmm.
The unfolding is the simple endpoint of a complex process.
Right. Of course, that happens on the micro scale and the macro scale, so it happens at every stage, but we're witnessing these.
But you're going into the Thompson Quadrant, macro and micro. No, no, it's anamorphic. There is no macro, micro. It's chaotic.
Right.
It's seeing the order in the chaos.
Right. But if we want to, we could look at the cold fusion as being a birth of the evolution of humanity into a new stage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so everything preceding it is... all of the energies organizing themselves prior to the actual birth.
That's right. It's the effects preceding the causes. It's the thoughts, the thinking that goes on in culture,
mm-hmm.
which includes language, technology, and art, and everything, and science. The thinking that goes on that led to the denouement, the punchline. Oh, so I was saying the atom bomb, it's a explosive medium, but it's also impulsive because the universe, the information made compact, but it's explosive in terms of its destruction. And so it's the end of history because it's the movement, it's the transitional environment from the mechanical world into the software world. And it has both in it, mechanical
mm-hmm.
explosion and electronic implosion.
Right.
Then the Android meme replays that. So we've now got implosion here where, you know, on the iPhone is everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And now the hypermobility that's coming in, Buzz Kosin says that the term in Europe for these iPhone kind of technologies is called handies, and we might call them mobiles. So the mobility that's coming in, they'll have to float even freer and more disconnected, which will encourage fads of reconnection.
Yeah, self-organization in new ways that are not under corporate control or under hierarchical control.
Well, self-organization is a volunteer ESP. Community organization is the cloned ESP. So let's not call it self-organization. Let's include...
Well, communities that will be self-organized organically as opposed to dictatorially organized from the top down.
Well, dictatorially, even though it's been ruled by committee the last 40 years, it still has the dictator, individual, charismatic, or mean personality. It can be organized by one person, which can be the Rumpelstiltskin effect, because you have the Dobbs Quadrant as Rumpelstiltskin playing with the previous stages of apprehension and imposing a pattern, a dictatorial pattern to the degree you accept it or don't understand it. It's always both sides now because we're in the systole, diastole, proprioceptive, tactile, and haptic. You could call these handies, mobile phones and iPhones, as haptic technology. The interplay of Rumpelstiltskin watching LaRouche, McLuhan, Thompson, and Croker, but that's also radio, TV, computer, and satellite, or newspaper, electric media, the printed book, and movies, attempting to figure out the Rumpelstiltskin and name it, and the medium in that level is magazine/satellite, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the interplay and ratios of the Rumpelstiltskin quadrant, the AP, the anthropomorphic physical, in relation to the naming qualities of the previous four quadrants is an important pattern to to become aware of and study and be able to play with.
Mm-hmm. And when
you see how Rumpelstiltskin resonates with the mystery landscape, right? Because the point is they don't know what his name is.
Yeah, so yeah, he, that's right.
That's definitely my situation.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what my name is.
He is a metaphor for the mystery body.
And for my operation.
Right.
Because you've got the names that I'm known by in the previous quadrants.
Well, are you saying you haven't exposed yourself? I mean, you've revealed an awful lot about yourself and your operation in various media forms, but you're saying we don't know you?
Yes. We've got the Bob Dean insult. We've got the Bob Marshall aspect. We've got the Bob Neverett. Now, note, I put Bob Neverett in there in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
We never heard from Bob Neverett till 2008.
Mm-hmm.
But Bob Neverett was around, and there is this rare tape. After I finished my CKLN stint in August 91, I did five extra shows, one a month, after Mike left in February 91. And when Mike left, since it was his show and I was just a guest, so to speak, once he left, there was no show. But Wayne Morris took it over, Mike Dyer's slot, and he agreed to let me have five more shows where I played a lot of evergreen stuff, disguised as Exus material, you know, material from the Exus. But in September 91, Jerry Fialka came to Toronto, and there was a guy there who wanted me on his show. So Jerry and I went down, and we got interviewed. But since Bob Dobbs had left in August 91, I was interviewed as Bob Neverett. And the host didn't know why Bob Dobbs didn't show up. He thought he was getting Bob Dobbs to come down, but Bob Neverett showed up.
You represented yourself as Bob Neverett.
Yes, to the audience and to the DJ. And Jerry Fialka, he had no clue who Bob Neverett was and just was part of the show and probably tried to think of me as Bob Dobbs. But the point is Bob Neverett was planted there, and I have the tape of that show. Planet there in September 91.
Right.
Anyway, so
people thought you were goofing on Barry Nevitt.
Who thought that?
I don't know. I've just heard people say that.
No, Nelson Thal thought that because he knew Barry Nevitt and thought that, well, Bob Marshall was based on Marshall McLuhan, and it sort of was. And so Bob Neverett, the closest to that is Barrington Nevitt, N-E-V-I-T-T, yes. So some people thought it was Nevitt, but it was actually a person. And you can see who Bob Neverett actually is in the inventory of data at the end of the second Guffey interview with me about the Matrix series. Just go to paranoiamagazine.org and go into the articles and read the article called Death of the Matrix, and look at the layout there. Maybe we should do that in the next couple of weeks, go into that, the meaning of that, or I don't know how long it would take. But the there's the inventory there, and you'll see Bob Neverett, who it actually refers to.
Oh, which you're going to hold off on for now?
Yeah, I don't want to get into that now. So I just want to say that you got those four phases, four names, but...
Yeah, but we all assume that it's really, that we do know who you are. You're Bob Dobbs.
Right, but you're going by the name. That's logocentric. What nobody can handle, and you recently experienced it, is a xenocrony that shows up in unbelievable levels, like with Doug Carr and with... Will Erkin, who was just with us for the first hour and a half, all that is what I am, and what that is has to be figured out. And you tell me what it is. What is that xenocrony with the Android Meme Plus that's going on?
Well, it's fun to get closer to. I there was a T-shirt I saw once. It said, "The closer you are, the closer you want to be." But closer closer to what? We don't know exactly.
Yes, and McLuhan said back in '73 in an interview that because of electric effects, everybody was hunkering and hankering to get inside the other guy's skin.
Mm-hmm.
That's another way of getting close. And there's more we can say about that. I don't want to get distracted, but I want you to stay with the terms and look at Rumpelstiltskin. There it is, the name, expressing the mystery. And if you can explain what's going on with me and my great presentation I've been doing over the last 30 years, if you can spell it out, which I'm doing, I'm spelling it out in all these tapes. If you can spell it out, then you've successfully named Rumpelstiltskin and you control me, or you've diminished me, or you've marginalized me, or you've got a healthy relationship with me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Rumpelstiltskin story is about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To the degree...
But you're not maliciously holding anybody's firstborn.
I named the Morpheus generation. I'm holding them in a kind of hostage situation. I'm saying that you don't get your act together and understand me, your Morpheus are going to fail just like the baby boomers in Generation X did.
Mm-hmm.
To the degree that we think they failed.
Right.
Now, they're just human beings, right? Mm-hmm. Confused by complex second nature.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that book called The Fourth Turning by any chance?
The Fourth Turning?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the one that goes through the 13 generations in American history and all that.
Right, and every four generations repeat themselves. So the generation that's coming on board right now is the same as the World War One generation.
The 23 generation, the guys before the baby boomers.
Yeah, these were the guys. They were called the GI generation. These are the guys who built up the infrastructure when it had been neglected, and I guess during World War II.
Yeah, the 911 on the hardware level of World War II.
That's interesting because they're the worker ants. Now, who's the ant on your chart, LaRouche? And who did you say that? Obama is administration represents the retrieval of Roosevelt in the radio era.
Yeah. That now he's more than that, but people are wondering whether they're going into a replay of the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The world's wondering.
Oh, yeah.
The Davos conference recently said, are we going into the Great... It's going to be worse or even...
Seems inevitable.
Are we going to stay in a recession? That's the question.
Seems inevitable.
I would say we're broke spiraling through all potential iconography or concretizations of the decade dance.
Hmm.
Right? But it's going to be none of that.
Well, maybe it'll just be a bunch of little reality islands and people will be creating all of this stuff. It just depends on what island you're on.
Yeah, McLuhan said, and I think it was in Take Today, that book came out in 72, that in the global theater we now have all of history to replay as a repertory theater in any meme we want or any performance style we want. That's what the chart is showing, is the replay of everything from 60 to 90.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we've arrived in the mystery landscape, we're not sure whether we can replay everything. But we will see glimmerings on the level of subatomic particles as shown on the Hadron. Now, what is the subatomic particle in my quadrant?
Which column is that, on the left?
Yeah.
The quark-tune cubed.
No, demon nuclei.
Oh, no, it's uracil.
No, demon nuclei.
Hmm.
It's a big title. Hmm. Like God, Dyad, Politics, Consciousness, Tetrahead, Pentad.
Yeah.
Because each quadrant is a diminished nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the demon nuclei shows up in this period, the AP period, and that's what you had, the demonization of Bush. And now you might have the demonization of Obama, or Obama demonizes the Republicans. The demon nuclei is the phase that began around 1990. But it began, technically, in the Reagan era, 77 to 92.
Mm-hmm.
The demonization of images. So... that is the last gasp. It's also the age of fundamentalism. Since 1990, the Al-Qaeda, religious Christian fundamentalism, Muslim fundamentalism, all these fundamentalisms started showing up around 1990 and doing terrorist activities in different ways, in different cultures through the 90s, up to 2001, 911. So that's part of the meaning of the chart is predicting 911.
Now, Obama is going to be suffering tremendous pressures. I remember, you know, sometimes he made some references to wanting to model himself after Abraham Lincoln. And I heard that Lincoln was under such tremendous pressure that oftentimes he didn't know how he was even going to make it through the day. I mean, it was just extremely painful to be in his position and to have to run an organization at that level and make those kinds of decisions. You don't appear to be under that crushing pressure, and yet you seem to be having possibly greater influence than even the President of the United States.
Yeah. Well, because I've moved into what the Dobbs Quadrant predicted.
You're letting the lackeys do the heavy work.
No, I'm just waiting for people to reappear. I mean, Buzz Kostin's an interesting character. The guy making my YouTube says I got to know him, and he got to know me, and he found out my language, and I found out his. He's decided, and he can prove, that he's been living the effects of cold fusion for the last 10 years. He doesn't have any apparent means of support, but he has money all the time and moves around wherever he wants to.
Yeah.
And he doesn't think about it. It just shows up.
Wow.
He has a parallel existence to mine.
Yeah. But does he have some innate gift or genius for doing something like that? Or
Has an innate gift for winging it, and he did it through his corporate life. He worked for a lot of major corporations over the last 30 years, maybe more.
Right.
He never got a college degree. But he always came across in the boardrooms as smarter than the college graduates.
Mm-hmm.
And he personally found out that they were quite stupid from his framework. So he has a good skill as a consultant, which is keeping the communication going.
Right. And he's buzzing like a bee, so he's in tune with the tactility, but he's coasting along.
Yeah, yeah. Someone else gave him that name.
Oh.
Someone who observed him and said, that's what you are. You're Buzz Coasting.
Right.
Okay, so the we've been talking about the Rumpelstiltskin. Do you want to go into and the demon nuclei, which means the present doesn't exist. The present is an art form. And the
it's hard to, except for making vague puns on the subatomic particles, it's hard to make any concrete connection to how they actually fit the categories.
Well, okay, I'll just explain that. The subatomic particles are very intangible, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the events from 1690 were intangible, but there was much consumer purchasing of TV and radios and computers and satellites put up by countries and international governments. They were trying to get a lockdown to get a stable factor in the global theater that was being holiopathized. And McLuhan pointed out that society was an art form. There wasn't really a society, but it was an image concretized by the different separate media. But as they converged, they became more seamless and ephemeral and ethereal, and the amount of data you take in your chip body life, and you try to determine a standard shape or image for what you've experienced, at best you'll come up with something approximating a subatomic particle, something that might have an existence, like a quark, appears it could be, doesn't last very long, and might be duplicated. It's the ephemerality of experience under Android meme conditions. It's quicksand that I'm getting at, that all these factors in the chart are like the pixel that Will Erickson made, I'm Not Beer. They're just hardly visible, hardly make out what they are. right?
Right.
We don't know anything about anybody or anything, since people are filtered through other media environments.
Right.
Those media environments become people, and they mix up with the chemical body people. So the population today has come to this as a cliche awareness. A popular phrase is, whatever.
Yeah.
Another one is that people say, you know, average, they, people just went to high school over the last 40 years. They'll say, and they generally are working class, or they did well and went to the top of executives, the executive lane. But the thing is that they'll say, they wouldn't have said this in the 50s, they say, well, there's this way of looking at it, but then there, you can also look at it the other way. And it's a complex society. There is a general awareness. They've been educated by the Android meme to see that holding a point of view or just one side of it is, quote, fanatic. So there is a popular level of comprehensive awareness that's come in. They've been massaged into this.
Some third party has. I mean, during Bush administration, the whole thing was the bipartisanship, the clash between, one side believing that they knew everything was black and the other side believing that they knew everything was white was high relief. And then you had the third party who's of people who are not even participating, who are like, being maybe more moderate, as it were.
Well, no, they were the ones processing the information. They were the audience.
Right.
They were the great, unconnected, forget the phrase, unconnected voter, independent voter, unaligned voter. That was what all the polls worried about focused on as it moved into the final months of the election.
Right.
But McLuhan said the great discovery was the technique of the suspended judgment. That's the tetrad manager. The Android meme is the pentad manager, processing and imitating the tetrad manager. But the tetrad manager used the technique of the suspended judgment in management, and this is what Wyndham Lewis exposed in his books like The Art of Being Ruled or Time and Western Man or Men Without Art, and his later novel, The Human Age, which was a trilogy of books. The technique of suspended judgment, that is expressed in what I was just saying, that the average American says, whatever, or, on one hand you have that view, and on the other hand you have this view, and they interrelate, and you got to seek a position in the middle.
Right.
Okay?
But I don't know if that makes up the majority of people or not. I mean, you have this polarity between the fundamentalists and the liberals.
Oh, no, that's only within the demon nuclei images that the Android meme presents.
Mm.
I'm talking about chemical bodies saying this.
Right.
And they say it in interacting with other chemical bodies. You hear them say it. And, private conversations.
Well, all we've heard about in Washington is the tension between the parties. And the fact that they're both stubbornly refuse to give in to the other, and in fact, they just want to tear down and attack the other party. That's all they want.
And that proves my chart. That began around 1990, after the Cold War. It no longer had the Soviet Union and communism as a specter. You now had just the other guy, the other, as they say in postmodern talk. And that's demonizing. And that's where my chart is accurate, demon nuclei. That's what they mean by irreconcilability and non-bipartisanship.
Right.
And that is the fact that none of these memes, since they create their own spaces, can ever acknowledge the other meme. Thompson cannot give in to McLuhan. McLuhan cannot give in to LaRouche. LaRouche cannot give in to Croker. Croker cannot give in to McLuhan, nor Thompson, nor LaRouche. Spiraling about.
Yeah. But, Obama's disposition appears to be one of suspended judgment. He's like, okay, I'm going to walk around. You don't know what he's thinking. But okay, I'm going to walk around. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to walk around and listen to you. Nobody knows what I'm thinking. He may have already made up his mind, but he's pretending that he's doing suspended judgment.
Yes, and since that is the tetrad function, which is long gone, long obsolete, long subsumed inside the Android meme doing that, Android meme is Jon Stewart or Katie Couric or Oprah hearing every, doing the tetrad management, allowing everybody to say their bit. Obama represents the global, third world educated effect. The global massage, which made Americans that way by the 80s and 90s, now is all over the world, and if you're going to be the representative of the rest of the world, you got to be a person of the technique of suspended judgment. So that's just Obama representing the third world and the non-Americanized world catching up.
Mm-hmm.
And walking into an ancient medium. And that medium of the White House and the bureaucratic level that is the tradition of the Democratic Party is represented by the Rouge Quadrant. That's where the second world is, the officia, as I have on the chart.
Right.
Government bureaucracy. That's what Obama's trying to revitalize.